The 2024 Cheltenham Festival Week is here, and Betfred have launched a boosted Cheltenham new customer offer, which closes as the last race starts on Friday, the 15th of March, so you need to be fast. If you're 18 plus in the UK and do not have a Betfred Sportsbook account, you can find details of their Cheltenham Bet £10, get £50 in free bets and bonuses new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer, with T's and C's near the top of this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code CHELT50 when registering. That's CHELT50 when registering.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system. It's the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 296. This is our 2024 Players Championship Bets Pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website where we have my players in-depth betting preview. We've got strokes gained rankings, player form stats, plus of course our predictor model. All of that content for the Players' Championship is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, you can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available with my weekly golf betting show. If you could press the like button while you are watching, listening to the show, that would be much appreciated. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast. So we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I'll read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Now, this particular person didn't actually do that. But I know that it's GR479753, very catchy. He's in the USA, I'm presuming it's a he. Well-rounded, well-informed, a soothing listen, five stars. I became a more consistent listener of the Golf Betting System podcast last year and couldn't be happier to be back in 2024. I highly recommend everyone read the weekly breakdowns as well. My favourite thing about these gentlemen is their balanced approach to their betting decisions. I did chuckle. The unique perspective they offer on how scheduling real-life events and personalities can affect the outcome of each tournament, likely more than recent strokes gained, is something I think adds great value. I also love learning more about the players grinding on the DP World Tour and different courses played all around the world. Most of all, I enjoy listening to the soothing sounds of friends dissecting a sport that can drive us absolutely mad. Thank you all for the work you put in and content you make available each week. And belated congratulations to Barry on his recent hole-in-one.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. That's a beautiful review, isn't it, chaps?
Very nice.
That is awesome. Thank you. It sets up something really well. The talk about the players grinding on the European Tour, and Steve this morning has been practicing one of their names because we're trying to line them up for, well, Steve's been trying to line them up for one or two events, so I'm going to hand it over to the main man.
Adrien Domon de Chassard.
That's not bad, Steve.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't been able to get Hideki Matsuyama right for 11 years. As Harry from Bath keeps saying on emails that we keep receiving, another one which came in yesterday. P.S. Steve, it's Matsuyama.
Nice.
So he keeps reminding me.
Keep torturing him. Come here, though. The Duchassard angle is brilliant. We should actually share it with the listeners because, you know, we're not going to rock the market. But coming from the part of Europe he did, he wouldn't have been experiencing much in terms of Bermuda grass, at least not on the level that people who grew up with that would have. So you're thinking, Steve, that like northeast, northeast courses in the States, maybe like the Minnesota one, the one in mm-hmm. Is it the Byron Nelson in Texas as well, you said?
Mm, definitely. He went to the University of Illinois. So you just got to think agronomy, haven't you? But it was just interesting. I mean, this is completely off the schedule of what we were going to say on the podcast, but let's just do it, shall we? It was interesting with Dumont de Chassard. Now, is he, I'll put this out there, is he ADC or is he DDC? Is that, how's that acronym going to work? I'm sure that he's already been named, but I've got no idea what the acronym is.
I think we're just going to make you say the full name each time, Steve. That's the easy option.
Adrien Dumont de Chassard?
Well, do you know what's going to happen, right? He'll make it big on tour one week and the American commentators will butcher his name and call him like Chassart. And then there'll be a back and forth like Aubert for a few weeks and they'll finally go, okay, it's Chassard, you know, or whatever. So
Chassard.
Yeah.
So who is this Chassart guy?
Yeah, chauffeur.
I said to the guys before we started recording, he has arrived on the PGA Tour. If you take the last 54 holes of the Puerto Rico Open, Dumont de Chassard shot 198 strokes. That was 3 better than Victor Perez, and it was 4 better than anybody else in the field, including Bryce Garnett, who shot 203. So 5 shots better than the leader. So clearly he's found something. He's getting used to the promotion from the Corn Ferry to the PGA Tour. He is going to be one to watch. I mean, it isn't an outlandish statement because was it the Czech Masters towards the autumn of last year? He came over with Ludwig Ober and they were pretty much level in the odds, weren't they, for that particular tournament, I remember.
I remember talking about him on the pod, yeah, and there's plenty of Corn Ferry form before that to suggest that he could go well. It didn't quite work out, but it's still a learning curve, isn't it, for a player like him at this stage? And yeah, lower grade PGA Tour events, maybe one to keep an eye on.
The good thing is because he will be at the moment until he learns the funky grasses. He should have a few bad results, so that should hopefully keep his price a little bit more elevated.
Should be a bit more fluid, shouldn't it?
Hope so.
Yeah, he's definitely one to track. I expect he probably wins the Valspar now, and none of us will be have a penny on him because we're waiting for events way down the calendar. As if that would happen, eh? I wanted to just mention here. We've got a bit of a milestone, chaps. We're hitting 750,000 downloads this week. So if you're probably one of the early listeners, around about, I don't know, the 300th or the 350th to actually listen to the podcast this week, you are sending us through the 750,000 downloads barrier. So I just wanted to say a huge thanks to all the listeners, really. I always say you can't fake that level of downloads, and it's true. So thank you to all the listeners. 750,000 downloads this week. Very, very good.
Brilliant stuff. Next stop, 1,000,000.
You're a mathematician, Paul. When do you think we're going to get to that 1,000,000 mark?
I think you'll be talking about it the week of the Open Championship, Steve.
Here we go. So that's.
I was going to say sooner than he figures out how to say Matsuyama and Duchassard.
Matsuyama and Adrien Dumont de Chassard. I'm quite good at that. I was going to entitle this part of the show, chaps, rather than last week, I was going to call it T2, T2, T3. Because that's where our selections ended up. I will start with the Arnold Palmer Invitational, though, because that is the one that most listeners will have engaged with last week, the signature event at Bay Hill, Arnie's place. Here are some very scary numbers for you. Off the tee, first. On approach, 12th. Around the green, first. Tee to green, first. Putting, 5th. Now, I'm sure I said also on the podcast, and we were all high on Rory McIlroy, I think I said 10 out of 10 times I would take McIlroy over Scheffler. Those were my words last week, so I apologise to everybody. I was completely wrong. Scotty Scheffler won by 5 strokes, beating Wyndham Clark. 15 under, Clark on 10 under, Shane Lowry on 9 under. The change to a mallet-style putter produced Scotty Scheffler's best putting performance since the 2022 Waste Management Phoenix Open. I was actually on him that week. That was his first PGA Tour title.
Yep. Best putting.
Incredible
since.
Performance.
Found something, hasn't
it? It just looked so easy, didn't it, chaps? Mm. I was sitting there watching it on Sunday, and it was, you know, literally third, fourth hole, you might as well turn that tournament off. It was won. Mm. It was just all under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you picked up on the putter change, Barry, didn't you, quite early on when it was flying around on X after we recorded.
He was working with Paul Kenyon, so he was always going to arrive at the mallet. It's kind of fun almost to beat Rory with the stick, though, for saying it so like out loud. There was there was another good post I saw that highlighted a lot of changes in his setup. Nothing overly dramatic, but ones that would help him be a little bit more consistent. He seems to have squared his stance, whereas before it was a little bit closed. And I remember Kisner picked up on that a few weeks back when he's in the commentary booth. So there's just a few little things they've been ironing out, and man, wow, did they work. Like, it was exhibition stuff. And it got Shane Lowry to say that he didn't think he was good enough to hang with it, which is, that's a big statement. Shows how a really, really good major level, you know, major winning pro can think that he's still that far away that he can't compete with them.
Damn. Impressive stuff. I mean, we've been saying, and as of many commentators on golf, that as soon as Scheffler finds any kind of neutrality with a putter, let alone strokes gain, which he did last week, then it's going to be incredibly difficult to stop. And it was just a procession in the end last week. And if he continues in that vein of form with the flat stick, then it could be a procession for a number of tournaments over the forthcoming weeks.
Here's the question. If he stays fit, what's the over-under on his wins this year? Is it like 4.5? Could he win? He could win 5 or 6 tournaments.
And there's majors in there as well, Barry.
Yeah.
Very much scope for majors.
He'll be licking his chops for Augusta, mate. That Bermuda carpet all the way to those bent grass greens. That is Scotty Scheffler territory, as is this week. Run you through the top 10, because I know we've had some feedback. People would like this kind of stuff. Top 10, tee to green last week. Tigala 10, Corey Connors 9, Putnam 8. There was a tie for 6th, Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark, Willie Z at 5, Siwoo Kim at 4, who's being backed off the boards this morning over here in the UK. I can see why. Chalk Tom Hoagie this week. What could possibly go wrong? He's at 3, Shane Lowry 2, Scotty Scheffler 1. Great tournament, enjoyed it. Like to see the course that actually put up some kind of resistance. Shane Lowry braked through the Bay Hill funk and actually delivered a decent performance at Bay Hill for the first time. I thought that was worthy of note as well. Right, DP World Tour poll. You were all over it like a rash. Twiston Lawrence at 18-1. And we did mention last week, Sean Norris, a quality operator. You had him at 125-1 for 2 full each ways on those guys. Well done. I know it's frustrating when you get so close to a victory, but From a romantic perspective, Matteo Manassero, wasn't it great to see him back in the winner's circle?
I'd much rather he did it in a different week, to be to be honest. But
I was trying to soften it out for you.
In a way, you can't be disappointed because a full place back on Norris finishing second at 125s is really a player that kind of price is as much as you could reasonably hope for. Had Tristan Lawrence done a little bit more in the middle rounds, then he could have walked away with that. But in the end, for him to come through with a fantastic final round to set the clubhouse lead and again secure a second place, at least it was positive in that respect. But yeah, Manassero, with four holes to go, it's anyone's really, and that includes Norris. And he goes and birdies the four, and that's with the break in between as well. And that could have played havoc with any player's mind, having a lengthy break with a couple of holes to go, and for him to come back out, birdie the final two holes that he played afterwards, virtually in the dark, was super impressive. We'd seen some signs, hadn't we? Because he had won a couple of times on the Challenge Tour last year, but that was his first win. You got to go all the way back to Wentworth back in 2013 for his last DP World or European Tour level win. So, a real phoenix from the flames story. Well done to him. Well done to anyone who was on him. 200-1 if you managed to pluck out Manassero at the start of the week. Big price.
It's interesting to see what that's actually done for his race to Dubai ranking. It must have gone through the roof.
Well, yes, relatively low-key event. So, it's all in context.
Having a quick look. Up to 13th. Jumped 72 spots.
Yeah.
What exemption... Sorry, listeners. This is when I go all Steve Golf anal. What kind of exemption do you get for one of these co? Is it 1 year or two?
It depends on the
throwing
level.
You under the bus?
No, I don't think there's a simple answer, Steve, because some of it depends on the prize fund, and there's different tiers for over, under certain amounts of prize fund, and that then qualifies you for different categories which get you into different events. It's complex. But yes, he'll
it
be
has
playing.
To be good.
Yeah, he'll be playing for the rest of this year and the rest of next year at least. So very good career move for him.
I find the race to Dubai rankings absolutely incredible. McIlroy, Hoshino, Adrian Meronk, Joaquin Neiman. That's the top four. I'm just, okay. That's where golf is at the moment, chaps. Right, Puerto Rico Open. I had Hayden Springer. Thankfully, Hayden didn't do a Sam Burns and triple the first on Sunday, or a Harris English and completely brown trouser himself, playing with a very under par Rory McIlroy. He hung around. I was very impressed with Hayden Springer, has to be said. He was always there or thereabouts for the victory. I never anticipated him to win, but he got me a full each way at 80-1. So I was pleased with Hayden Springer. He actually saved my week from a complete zilch, unlike English, Burns and Jordan Spieth. They decided that they were going to hang around the top of the leaderboard, but then completely self-combust at various points. So happy with Springer, one to keep an eye on. But you listen to this, chaps. We were talking about the Prince of Paspalum last week. Brandon Wu did very little for me, but we forgot about Bryce Garnett. Now, old man Bryce Garnett, that's two victories on the PGA Tour, both on Paspalum. And you say, oh, two victories on the PGA Tour. Well, that's more than Tommy Fleetwood, isn't it? As we know, little dig there. His form coming into the Puerto Rico Open, red. It was all Corn Ferry. Miscut, 51st. 150-1.
Telegraphed
it. A playoff from Eric Barnes.
It's the kind of result you get in some of these alternate events, isn't it?
It's every year at Puerto Rico. I mean, last year it was Nico Echeverria, 125-1, I think.
Just...
I think his form read something like 12th at the Sony, miscut, 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 miscut before he won. So there you go.
Just pick some players.
Bryce Garnett gets a 2-year exemption and will be playing the Century Tournament at the start of next year and gets in the last player into this week's Players Championship. Mm. That's why you should be playing these alternate events.
Yeah, massive.
These opposite events. They can change your career in 4 days. Should we talk players, chaps?
Yeah, do it.
How are you feeling, Barry? Because I know you're not in top form. Are you okay?
I have the man flu. Oh, we'll be good. I'm having a coffee here and we'll see how we get on.
Okay. Oh. I'm a bit scared because you and I are kind of on the same players this week, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Now, this, of course, I'm not even going to mention fifth major because those days are long, long gone. All I will say, the Players' Championship is the strongest field on the PGA Tour in 2024. Played at the Stadium Course, TPC Sawgrass, which is basically PGA Tour headquarters. I said on a podcast I recorded with Joe over the weekend that I reckon yard for yard, this is probably the most difficult golf course on the PGA Tour. And bear with me with that because they've freshly extended it this year to 7,275 yards, which is still incredibly short. They've extended the ninth hole to just over 600 yards as a par five. I think they put 14 yards to it or something. But it's a genuine par 72 with four par fives. And each and every year, the winning score is circa 13 to 17 under par.
Yep.
That just shows you, it is by far Pete Dye's best design. It's his most iconic design. And it just shows you the level of trickery, brilliant design, and just, it's the kind of design that tricks players year in, year out. And for me, it's like the biggest anti-chalk week that you would ever get, because you are going to get some serious ejections, miscuts from some very big names, and it happens each and every single year. 18 holes with water hazards might have something to do with it. Some incredible numbers when you actually look at this. You know, I think it tends to be in the top five every year, or maybe even the top three for reloads off the tee.
Thought you were talking about bets.
It's also like top five for penalty strokes, full stop. It's just an absolute brute of a golf course. And guess what this year, chaps? They've upped the rough because Florida has had plenty of rain this year. They say there's no global warming. Florida's had record levels of rain, and they're quoting the rough at 3.5 inches, which will sort them out big style.
Juicy.
Tiff Eagle, Bermuda grass greens, which are overseeded with Poa trivialis. We've seen quite a lot of that at the start of this year. This is another one of those courses. The greens are small, 5,500 square feet. Like Barry, give us 30 seconds on the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass for the listeners. Your summary of the course.
I feel like an idiot putting any bets on before the tournament starts. It can be such a volatile course for players, and it's a little bit of an execution test, but it negates distinct advantages that some players might have over others, like extreme length. That can be helpful at times this week, but how much of an advantage that is on this course is not as much as it can be on other courses. So it kind of levels the playing field, but it just seems like it can grab you and throttle you even when you think like you're playing really well, or somebody coming into this tournament playing really well. And it'll happen to a few of the favorites this week.
Yep.
They'll be tipped up. People will be convinced it's going to go great for them. And they just get spun around and spat out. And I think you just have to accept that's part of this tournament. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of betting now, and I'm going to kind of hold a few back for some betting and running just to see who's going and who's hanging around. That seems to be, you know, a good indicator of having a chance on Sunday, but it can happen at any time. You can just get ejected. So fascinating watching, really hard for me to figure out who's going to win.
Great summary. I like that. You pinged it in the first sentence. You don't really know who to back before the event. You actually look at who's being backed. There's about 30 players being backed on the markets at the moment, and that just shows you people. There's no one. The easiest way to explain this is quite simple, and this is how I explain it. Last four winners of this, since we went to the spring rather than late or early summer, May timing, which you remember, it used to be firm and fast and pretty gnarly. Yeah? Yep. Now it's a lot softer, and we've got this overseed everywhere, which softens the course slightly. You listen to this, chaps. This says everything. Scheffler, strokes gained tee to green first, strokes gained putting 48th. These are ranks on the week they won. Justin Thomas, strokes gained tee to green first, strokes gained putting 42nd. Rory McIlroy, strokes gained tee to green first, strokes gained putting 45th. Cameron Smith, strokes gained tee to green 35th, strokes gained putting first. Complete 360s, 180s, whatever you want to call it, reversals. Sometimes strokes gained tee to green wins, and then one year Cam Smith basically putted lights out, first for putting by a mile, wins the tournament. Anything can happen, really. One thing I have noticed, driving distance, the last four winners average out at 11th in the field of those that made the cut. And that, to me, points slightly to the fact that with these softer conditions, if you can just eke it out there an extra an extra 10, 15 yards than the average, seems to be having a very good feedback from that in terms of the winners. I mean, 5th, 18th, 20th, that was Cam Smith, and 1st for driving distance have won this the last 4 years. So that doesn't say indiscriminate bomber, but this golf course is all about strategy to me. It's all about strategy, and when I look at the strokes gained numbers across those four winners again, and I just average their skill sets out across those that made the cut, off the tee 21st, which is quite low for a PGA Tour event, 5th for approach, which is the highest of 2024 so far, 15th for around the green, which is the highest so far in 2024, tee to green 10th, strokes gained putting, and I know this sounds ridiculous when Cam Smith topped that particular category, but 34th. So what that says to me is we want guys that are red hot with their approach play, very, very good around the green and scrambling, bogey avoidance, and team no putt is definitely in effect this week. If you want it to be. Although if you want to pick up an Aaron Baddeley or a Mackenzie Hughes or Jordan Spieth, you know, the Magic Beans types, they are in play as well if you can pick them. So, yeah, that goes back to your statement, Barry. It's difficult to know what way to turn, really, on a course that's so open. At the end of the day, the best player will win this week on the stadium course. That's how it always tends to work. There is no particular kind of player that dominates here. I mean, you can kind of tell that, can't you? Because Phil Mickelson, I think he won. Don't shoot me if I'm wrong here, but I think Mickelson had a maximum of, it was either one or two victories here. And I think only Tiger's won a handful of times. Where you can, you know, Tiger used to win, what, 8 times at Akron?
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on and on with Tiger Woods. Victories here, sporadic at best. Where do you want to start, chaps? Is there anything else you want to say about the tournament or the course before we move on to our selections?
No, don't think so.
No, let's get into the destruction.
What do you think to chalk Tom Hoagie week? Everyone I'm talking to, when I was doing the premiere of my golf betting show yesterday, had loads of comments. So yeah, if you're one of those people that actually comes and premieres with me, we're having a live chat yesterday. Literally everybody said it was Tom Hoagie week. Mm. Does chalk Tom Hoagie sound good to you?
Backed off the boards as well, isn't he? 100-1 he opened yesterday. 66 now and still dropping like a stone.
I think Skybet had a market up over the weekend and someone grabbed him at 110-1, eight places on Sunday. Mm. That's mad. Right. I'll get it in first of all. I have gone 5 points win only, enhanced win, bet 365, 6-1, Scotty Scheffler, bang, done. Reasoning, best player in the world, has found the putter. Four of Scheffler's 7 PGA Tour victories have come on these Poa, Trivialis, Overseed type greens. And don't forget, all 7 of his PGA Tour victories now have come on golf courses that have featured Bermuda grass fairways, Bermuda grass, basically tee to green, up until the greens. 6 of the 7 have featured either Bermuda or Bermuda overseeded greens, apart, of course, from the Masters that has bent grass greens. Mm. This is his territory. The thing that made me really, really just want to get involved with Scheffler this week were the conversations I was listening to on Sunday with him and Ted Scott. The way they strategize a golf course is amazing and it is absolutely perfect for TPC Sawgrass. Great with his approaches, great around the green. He can just hit driver and hit it accurately enough to stay out of trouble to give him that advantage. And I am not expecting Scotty Scheffler to gain 1.09 strokes per round with the putter this week. But if Scotty Scheffler actually shoots neutral and is number one for tee to green, he still wins this week. Mm. So I'm on at 6-1.
Yeah. No, as boring as it is, Steve, I'm with you as well, because I guess the rationale for this is what you've just described in a way, but if it's going to be another procession, and it could well be another Scotty Scheffler procession this week, then I want to be on board. I don't want to be sitting there Sunday watching a tournament that's done and dusted and I've not got the winner. But for me, boil it back down, it's a similar kind of argument to, well, it's the same argument really, to when I was back in John Rahm early last year. And that is, if you give Scotty Scheffler 5-6 attempts at this tournament, at this time, in this current form, with the putter working as it was last week, how many of those 5 or 6 does he win to justify his price at, 11-2, 6-1 enhanced? I think he wins at least one, probably two, and it justifies backing him at that price. If he doesn't win, then, I think you console yourself in the fact that it was the right bet. It just didn't happen. But for me, he is by far the most likely winner. And he won by 5 last week. He won by 5 here last year, didn't he? It could be another similar kind of scenario, I think.
That's it. That point you make there, he won this at 17 under last year. And you think, must have been quite a soft year then, because, the years before that, it was 13 under, 14 under, 16 under McIlroy. And then it's like, but he won by 5.
Yep.
So the next best play was at 12 under par.
Yep.
And that just shows you how that Scheffler can strategize, minimize bogeys, not make mistakes.
Yep.
So, I think Scheffler now compares very, very well to what you just said about Rahm early 2023.
Mm.
And I know you had a run of a couple of tournaments, didn't you, when you were just going win only. I think he wins at 7-1.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the calculation or the maths is there to suggest that he wins it sufficient times to justify backing him at that price. But yeah, if the putter performs anywhere near like it did last week, then he's going to be incredibly difficult to stop. We've seen him defend, haven't we? Defended Phoenix.
First time.
Year. Yeah.
First time he ever defended the tournament at Phoenix, went back to back.
Yeah.
So you can't even throw that against him. The other thing I noticed was, if you look at the prices for the Bay Hill event last week, he was 13-2 and Rory McIlroy was 9-1 and being backed off the boards.
Mm.
This week, 11-2 Scheffler. And yes, I know the field's bigger, but you can't say the quality of the field is better. McIlroy, 14-1.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, we've gone from 13-2, 9-1, to 11-2, 14-1.
Yeah, yeah. There's a divide.
And then, next best, 22s. That's crazy.
Mm.
Where are you two chipping in? So you're in on Scheffler. Where's your next bet, Paul, price-wise?
All three figures from there for me.
Right, okay, right. Brilliant.
Ooh, nice.
What about you, Barry? Where are you coming in? Because you are the Sawgrass Whisperer, aren't you? Although you aren't this week with that gruff accent.
The croaker.
No.
You're the you are the Sawgrass Croaker.
Going to do the smooth introductions. If you're doing... Here's a question. If you're doing a win-only bet on Scheffler and he goes off on the afternoon wave, why would you not wait until some scores come in, which should push his price out a little bit?
Yeah, potentially.
It'd have to be something astronomical by a big player, I think. But
I think Rory would need to be 10 under through 5, wouldn't he, or something?
For Scheffler's price to budge even the slightest.
I don't think it moves much. Unless there's a clear draw bias as well, but it doesn't look like that.
Oh, sorry, I never actually mentioned weather. I've got to say, chaps, and this isn't something we usually say for the players, it looks very, very even and it looks pretty calm.
Mm.
So I don't see an imbalance at all, which is great because you don't want it.
No.
2022 was just a complete and utter mess. It was a joke.
Yeah.
That wasn't the organisers' fault. It was the Florida weather. Where are you in? Come on, Barry. Who's your first in the bag this week?
I don't want to back Scheffler because it's just boring. And betting for me is not like, yes, it's about making a bit of money, but it's supposed to be fun as well. And that is just the most bland yawn bet I could think of for the week. So,
Barry, I haven't won a tournament since September. I don't care.
Yeah, well, you're an idiot and you should have followed me on Jake Knapp because I told you about him for weeks. And you're
you he was going to win in Mexico. And then, of course, I don't actually bet him. Yeah, so,
which makes it even more of an idiot award.
Thank you. We will. I think at the end of the year, we're going to have an idiots award show.
Yeah.
Clearly. I'm going to win a lot of awards.
That will be 3 hours long.
Anyway, I'll ask you for a third time. Who are you backing for your first tip at the Players' Championship this week?
I am backing Will Zalatoris.
Interesting. Yeah. Your rationale, please.
Rationale. Plays well, shows up on tough courses.
Yep.
Was quite good last week and also picked up a little nugget from him in his post-round interview after the tournament where he said it's the best he's driven it in a while. And that is quite a nice thing to have if he can carry that into this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like how he steps up his game in these tournaments that really narrow your focus and they ask more, let's say, exacting questions of your game.
When I look at correlating courses, I think there is something with St. Jude, which would make sense, wouldn't it? Bermuda grass, tough, plenty of water. Different time of the year. Yep. Zalatoris, as we all know, his one victory came at St. Jude. So I get that. He was third for strokes gained off the tee last week. And Will can be particularly crooked. I know when I watched a lot of the Sunday coverage, he tended to be a lot straighter than Wyndham Clark, for example.
Like in your tracker, he's fourth in strokes gained tee to green.
Oh yeah,
you know, not as hot on approach. A little further down the rankings there, but I just like his I just like that mental side of his game. He just seems to dig in and show up in these tougher tests. So,
yeah, last two though, Barry, fourth and tenth for approach, third and fifth for tee to green. So yeah. That I don't think it's a bad bet at all. I took on board what you and Paul said. I think it was Paul, actually, rather than take credit. I'm going to take credit away from you, Barry, and actually give it to Paul.
It's okay.
Because he actually said it. Hideki Matsuyama. Yeah? Wins in bunches.
Mm, yeah, it does. Not last week.
Well, I wasn't on him. That's why he didn't win. But go it all was. The way back to 2016 with Matsuyama. 1-2-2-1 across a four tournament spell. Late 2016 into early 2017. This is when he'd hit the PGA Tour. 1-2-1-1-2-27-33-1. Now that included two Japan Golf Tour wins. Yeah, granted, but there was also a WGC HSBC in there. There was a second at what they used to run at the CIMB in Malaysia, and there was a 2017 West Waste Management Phoenix Open win. So some very chunky tournaments. And even late 21, he won the Zozo Championship, which of course is the event they run in Japan. So he got even more heroic status for winning that. You know, green jacket and winning the Zozo. I mean, this guy is saintly over in the over in Japan. And then he went on in early 2022 to finish 13th. So he went win, 13th, win. That win came, of course, when he putted like, who should we say, Mackenzie Hughes to gain 8 strokes over the week on the greens at the Sony Open. He has finished here 7th, 8th and 5th, and he's got 3 more supporting top 23 finishes. If you look at the fantastic strokes gained rankings that Paul has pulled together, I have put a link to them in the podcast description box. Use them. They are free. They are a brilliant sheet where you can literally rank by every kind of skill set in this field around the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass. He would rank 4th across history for those who have played more than once on this course. So yeah, Matsuyama, I think, you know, he could well go. I was more than happy to take 28-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way on Matsuyama. Anyone following me in, or you just leaving me that one to that one?
No, I might have to.
He's actually been lengthened to 33-1 in a place this morning. Mm. Yeah. So no one fancies him at all.
No,
that's good.
I've left him alone personally, but if his back is sufficiently healthy, then it could be worth taking a chance on him.
He let me down last week, Steve. Him. Sorry.
Say that again.
I keep crossing wires with you.
Sorry.
I was on him last week, and it was a bit disappointing to watch him fade off on Sunday and miss the places. But maybe he kind of strategically imploded so he could win this week.
I don't know. I think he gets to a stage where when he knows he can't win, and Scheffler's literally fucking just taking the course apart, he just kind of packs it in.
Yeah.
And watching him hack down the left-hand side of that par 5, it was almost as if, on to next week.
Yep. Take your foot off the throttle. And plenty do that, don't they? For some, it's just all about the wins. And if the chance goes, then so be it. He'd have had to do something spectacular. Was he a couple back, wasn't he, at the start of the day on Sunday? And I did, like you, Barry, held some hopes.
Wherever you look at Scheffler, Smith, Thomas, I mean, when you look at Scheffler, Smith, Thomas, McIlroy, forget about McIlroy, never plays in Hawaii, but Thomas has won at Plantation and Waialae. Smith has won at Plantation and Waialae. Scheffler never plays Waialae. And to be fair, he hasn't got his head completely round Plantation, yes, but he was fifth this year and he had a seventh before winning here. Matsuyama, he's had a runners-up third place at Plantation and is a Waialae Sony Open winner. So if you're looking at that kind of narrative, and just any kind of course, clearly Augusta, Muirfield Village, these tough tests, St Jude, he's been there, seen it, done it. So yeah, I had to take Matsuyama. Now my next selection, I've gone to this. Yeah, you know, look at the stats, and I do love persuading myself out of selections. And this week, I just thought to myself, do you know what? Do not overthink things, Steve. Just go out there, pick the players you want to pick, write it, get the preview out there. And I ended up on the same horse that you are on, Barry. Shane Lowry. Do you want to take us through your Shane Lowry selection, please?
Yeah, only if you can handle me sniffling a bit. I'm going to do it quickly. The guy's playing really good golf. What we need for this bet to work is for Scottie Scheffler to not hang around the top of the leaderboard, because he's intimidating everybody at the moment. So any bet that you have that's up there facing off against Scheffler, you're not going to be too hopeful of him beating him. So Shane's just playing some great golf. Let's see, can he dodge the obstacle course that is Sawgrass and hopefully doesn't get bitten by it?
We said last week he only comes to town on tough courses. His one win in the States, 2015 WGC Bridgestone, and I remember that year, it was firm and fiery. I think he won at something like 6 or 7 under par. Akron had serious teeth that week up in Ohio. And he just plays his best golf either in Ohio, he's got a decent enough record also at Jack's tournament, or he just plays it. He plays great golf in Florida, which is clearly his home now. But, you know, it's majors, isn't it? Third at Augusta in 2022. We mentioned that last week. Eighth and the fourth at the PGA Championships they held at Bethpage Black. I mean, if you want a tough golf course, and Kia Island, that was wind strewn, wasn't it? Kia Island a few years ago. He's also had a second at Oakmont the year that DJ won there. Just tough, tough courses. This course suits him. And do you know what? That 3.5 inches of rough, I think, really plays into his wheelhouse. It's major tough this week. If you're missing fairways and you're getting unfavourable lies in 3.5 inches of rough, you've got problems, haven't you? Big, big problems with water everywhere. And his Florida record's great. And his last two outings, fourth at PGA National and third at Bay Hill, a bogey course until this point. So, yeah, I thought Shane. I'll tell you what, here's another angle. And this might be something of interest to our American listeners, North American listeners. There seems to be something here, Paul, about Abu Dhabi Golf Club and success at the Players Championship. Now, bear with me. Lowry won in Abu Dhabi at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club in 2019. Now, yep. You listen to this list of Abu Dhabi GC winners. Henrik Stenson, well, he won the Players in 2009. Paul Casey, a number of times. I think he's a two-time winner. Paul Casey and TPC Sawgrass, they kind of just perennially go together, and you'd always go, oh, I'm not going to bet Paul Casey this week at 28-1. And invariably he finished fifth like he did in 2021, or third like he did in 2022. Martin Keimer, well, he won in 2014, and Keimer, Abu Dhabi winner. We won't go down the one where he was 6 or 7 clear and he's never been the same player since. We won't go down that route. Next up, Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler's won Abu Dhabi. He's also the winner here in 2015. Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy was second here after 54 holes in 2019 and finished fifth. Lee Westwood, runner-up here in 2021. And Tyrrell Hatton, runner-up here last year. So that is just incredible how that golf course over in the Middle East relates to how this course seemingly plays is incredible.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. I mean, some of those Keimer wins, and I remember watching a number of them quite vividly, and the course, in terms of its challenge, in terms of its difficulty, I guess that's where the main correlation will come into it. And Keimer used to just walk the floor when he was playing at his very best. You know, it just wiped the floor with his golf. But yeah, I can see it, and it's indisputable, really, the list you've read through there. There's a lot of crossover between the two events, two courses.
Trends change. But this golf, and I know before I get shot down, the official world golf rankings is now meaningless, it's pointless, blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But fact of the matter is that the last four of these, since the move to March, players have ranked in the world's top 10. And that kind of comes across in your odds. Scheffler won at 11-1 last year. Justin Thomas, 20-1. Rory McIlroy, 14-1. The outlier, Cam Smith, was 10th in the world, had won at Kapalua that year, finished, won this at 33-1. I grabbed a player who's top 10 in the world and who last week ranked at Bay Hill first for greens in regulation, third for strokes gained on approach, 17th for strokes gained around the green, so was clearly, you know, chipping well and minimising bogeys to an extent, and ranked 7th for tee to green. He finished, I think it was tied 12th, which was his best ever finish at Bay Hill. Now, Bay Hill is way too long a golf course for Brian Harman, but I grabbed him yesterday morning at 66-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way. By the way, Bet365, this isn't each way extra. They have gone default market, 8 places each way this week at the Players. So if you place just a general bet with them, you're getting 8 places each way. They are still running each way extra, where you can select 5 places and a quarter, 10 or 12 places each way, both at a 50 odds. Just thought I'd get that out there. But yeah, I'm on Harman. 365, 66-1, a guy that won the Open last year. His form here is also interesting. He's won $1.7 million on the stadium course. He's finished 8th, 2015, 8th, 2019, and 3rd, 2021. And both in 2019 and 2021, he was in the last couple of groups going out on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm on Brian Harman's 66s. That takes us out to the triple digits, I believe, unless you've got another one in that mid-price range, Barry. Is he alive?
Barry,
I think he's gone.
Barry might have...
Hang on, I was muted. Sorry, but I was talking there for a second. I was muted on the call with you guys.
we were worried. We were going to phone an ambulance.
No, just managing the cold situation here. So, I've got a couple over in the triple digits. Yeah.
Crack on with your first triple digit, then we'll go to Paul, and I will finish off the triple digits, the last selection, because I've got triple as well.
Okay, well, I'll do one that I know. I hope you don't have Steve, because I know we're on the same. I think we're on the same one of the same ones. So I'm going to go with Keith Mitchell.
Yeah. Cashmere Keith.
Yeah. Driving the ball incredible at the moment. 4th in your strokes gained off the tee rankings. He's 18th on approach, which merges up to 18th in strokes gained tee to green. A lot of mixed condition models I'm looking at. He's showing up high up on the rankings, you know, in around the top 10 or so for these mixed condition models. So I kind of like where that's at for 100-1 shot.
Yeah.
He does seem to disappoint a bit at times when you think he's about to kick on and really stretch for a win or a high finish, but. I suppose that's inbuilt to the 100-1 price. So, I'm on board.
Don't shoot me down, but this is my feeling on Keith Mitchell this week. I reckon great first round leader bet. And I could see him starting quickly, falling away and finishing fast on a Sunday and grabbing an each way spot. Because that's kind of how Keith operates.
Yeah.
Great on a Thursday. Can be great on a Sunday when not in contention. Maybe not the strongest mentally to see a tournament all the way through. But yeah, he's playing probably the best golf of his career since that. Don't forget, he's a Florida winner, isn't he? He won the Honda Classic at PGA National. His one and only win. Great pedigree in Florida. So yeah, get that. Get that completely. What about you, Paul? Where are you at?
Well, I didn't put all my beans on Scotty Scheffler, but quite a few of this week's beans are on him. So I wanted to go back and have a look at players that have placed here in recent years at three figures, and just to see if I could get a flavour for the kind of player. So I had a look through last year. Tom Hoagie was the obvious one, and we've talked about Tom, and he's been backed off the boards this week. But he finished third last year.
Was he 150-1?
I got him down 110, but he could well have been a bit longer very early on the Monday, but certainly three figures. He'd got a previous top 20 here, and he'd finished 14th a couple of events back. So there was
I'm on a Monday, 125-1. So yeah, 110. Yeah, that'll make sense.
That's the right kind of number. So Hoagie, there was probably a little bit to grab onto. Year before, Keegan Bradley, 100-1. He finished fifth. Now, Bradley had finished 11th on his previous start and had incoming course form of 7th, 16th, 29th. So again, you could quite reasonably have made a each way case for Keegan Bradley. The year before that, Brian Harman, who you're on, been backed off the boards, hasn't he? I know you 66s, you got yesterday's 50-1 or thereabouts, and a sea of blue. 200-1, Brian Harman was back in 2021. Finished third, and he had a couple of top eights here before doing that. Some reasonable middling form coming in, kind of top 30s, top 40s, that kind of number. Talor Gooch, same week, 150-1, and he had a 12th place two events before. So for me, the summary of that was you either want a player who has a recent-ish top 20 or a top 20 or multiple top 10s or that kind of that kind of scenario, who is a little bit under the radar, but you could still make a bit of a case for. Anyway, I've picked three out on that basis. First one, Cam Davis, 100-1. The Davis, he led after the day, led after day one at the Australian Open just before Christmas. Led after day one at the Sony Open, was second after day one at the Genesis, which again, higher quality field. Solid last week, T18 in the end, and finished sixth last year. So decent enough form. Bear in mind, last year that sixth place finish came after five consecutive missed cuts. So he was, he certainly found something here.
He was fourth at the PGA Championship at Oak Hill last year, wasn't he? Mm. Do you remember when he was driving that? There was a par four up the hill, and he was literally driving it onto the green every single day.
Yeah.
He's a weapon, Cam Davis, undoubtedly.
Well, sick for strokes gain approach last week. That's the number that really caught my eye from his performance. Yeah, yeah. So 100-1, I thought that was worth taking. Another one I backed, similar kind of price, actually has been pushed out to 140s. Ricky Fowler, incoming form, 35th, 41st, 36th. So that kind of ties into the Brian Harman approach from a couple of years back. But we know about Ricky's form here. He's got a win. He's got a runner-up. He was 11th going into Sunday at the Cognizant Classic. So not terrible, really. And I've been watching the Full Swing Series 2, and he featured heavily in this second episode. And that goes back to the US Open and then the Rocket Mortgage win last year. And that reminded me over the weekend just how well Ricky had recovered in his game, his career. 9 months ago? Not even that. So I think there's enough to suggest that he can resurrect something and potentially come into a course that he's got good form on in the past. Then, I thought 140-1 with eight places, got to take that. And then my favourite one of the lot, and again, is another one who's been backed quite heavily overnight. Lucas Glover, 200-1.
The Glove.
Mr. Glover Man. Lucas.
Glover Man. He's the Glover Man.
Mr. Glover Glover. 200-1, I backed him yesterday. There's 175s out there now. 150 is going to be general kind of price, maybe even shorter. Again, looking at the incoming form, 35th, 35th, 30th. So that, again, that ties into the Brian Harman number from a couple of years back. Top 20 for strokes gained approach, top 20 for strokes gained tee to green last week, top 15 for accuracy and greens and regulation. So the long game's there. What I really like is that he won the Wyndham Championship last year, and there's massive correlation between the Wyndham Championship and this event. Webb Simpson, Henrik Stenson, Sergio Garcia, Siwoo Kim, all won both events since 2011. Kevin Kisner won the Wyndham, and he was runner-up here. 2015, wasn't it? Ricky's year, he was in the playoff with Ricky, wasn't he? So there's massive correlation. St. Jude, he won the week after. You talked about St. Jude a couple of minutes ago being a potential one to look at. He won there the week after when you were on board. Lucas Glover, 200-1, finished third here in 2010, sixth here in 2017, ticked all of those each way long shot boxes that I wanted to see. And I'm in.
Here you go. Strokes gained off the strokes gained numbers for Sedgefield, Wyndham. 27th for off the tee. So again, golf course you can't overpower. 7th for approach, 8th for tee to green. So you can see why there's that similarity. And clearly Bermuda grass, bedecked.
Yeah.
Slightly different on the greens, but we won't go down that rabbit hole. But yes, Bermuda grass. And short par 70 in that case. But yeah, I can see that. I think with Glover, you didn't mention, he was top 25 last week around the green as well. And I want to see players this. I want to see players last week at Bay Hill that were decent around the green with their chipping and their bogey avoidance, or at least, you know, a couple of chip-ins, whatever it is, getting out, you know, some decent bunker play.
Yeah.
Because that's so vital this week. So, yeah, Glover, I had a really close look at him.
I think going back to the point that our reviewer made right at the start and the kind of intangible things as well, I don't know if you caught some of the commentary over the weekend from Glover about the signature events and how he dislikes that, how he thinks it's bad for the tour, that these limited field events are restricting the opportunities for players who should be playing in full field events. And, you know, he was really quite vocal about it. And coming to what is this week a full field event where a lot of these players have got a chance against the best players in the on the PGA Tour right now, I wonder if that will galvanise him to go out there and have a good week as well, just to put his money where his mouth is, effectively. We'll see.
Good angle. Good angle, yeah.
We shall see.
I tell you a couple, there's a few names that down here in the depths that I had a very close look at. I still think Kurt Kitayama's got a good week in him. Because you actually look at my strokes gain top 25 numbers, Kitayama's in quite a few of them. He absolutely bolted and he clearly didn't like his first defence that last week. But, you know, that's just a one-off. He's playing some decent golf at the moment, Kitayama. And as we said, he's the kind of player that grinds. So, you know, not 25 under, but anything sort of where par is a decent number, he tends to kind of come to the top. So I don't mind Kitayama. Glover's just been backed in off the boards, quite rightly. I had a very close look. Just when you look at last year, I'm not going to go into the detail, but this happens every single year here. You get triple digits that are in my strokes gained top 25 total going in. So they're playing great golf as they arrive. Justin Suh was one of those last year. Yeah. He ranked 18th for strokes gained current form heading into the Players last year and was a 200-1 shot. Got an each way place. Mm-hmm. That actually takes me to my last selection. Eric Van Rooyen. President's Cup here. I mention this every single week. He's just playing some outstanding golf. Wherever I look, his name keeps cropping up. He ranks 11th in this field in my strokes gained current form metric. Level with Siwoo Kim, who's very, very popular this week, and Cam Young. And I grabbed him at 125-1. So, yeah, I'm in on Eric Van Rooyen, who was 13th here on his one and only appearance 2 years ago. I believe he was in the top 4 or 5 heading into, I would say heading into the weekend, but I think they were playing the third round on Monday 2 years ago. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on Eric Van Rooyen. That's my last selection. What about you, Barry?
I'm with you on Van Rooyen. I love the bet. Guy's playing really good golf. Like, bring it on.
I think last week, in retrospect, was a bit too tough for him. I don't think he does single digits, but take him to a mid-score, 12, 14 under. I think he's okay.
But that course last week can just be a bit of a bleep, you know.
And he finished well, didn't he?
Yeah,
I know he finished well. I think he was in the top 10 for scoring on the Sunday at Bay Hill.
Everything in his recent form for this year is making me happy with the bet. 125-1, 8 places. Cheers, yeah, thank you. Let's go.
I thought, Paul, you were going to mention, if I'd have had a guess, I'd have said Doug Gim, and Barry's a Doug Gim fan as well, but his numbers are very, very good for this as well.
Yeah.
One of those tee to green nuggety sorts, hits lots of fairways, doesn't hit it a mile, but enough, and is great with his approach play.
Yeah, and he did have a decent finish here, didn't he? I forget which year it was, but relatively recently.
I think that was the Cam Smith year. I think he was playing in the last couple of groups.
Yeah.
It all got a bit too much, but he's playing some really consistent golf. The other one, Austin Ekro, I could see him going extremely well on course debut as well. As we know, a winner a few weeks ago at the PGA National. Right, I think we're done, chaps, aren't we?
Yep, no more from me.
Just got to mention, in case somebody doesn't think of it, to tell Sam Harrop that he's got a slam dunk song if Lucas Glover wins, because Paul already sang it on the pod, so yeah. It just writes itself.
Champion Glover.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna finish this week with Adrien Dumont de Chassard. There you go.
Getting good at it, Steve.
Yeah. Let's see if that sticks. Good luck with your bets, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, chaps.
You too, boys.
Enjoy the Cheltenham Festival, which we've got over here in the UK, Tuesday through Friday. Clearly the biggest show on turf. And I hope listeners' bets go well. We will be back next week with the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. Have you got any pool next week? You've got another week on?
No. It's Singapore Classic next week. Shane Lowry's playing, apparently. Lowry and
Laguna National.
Yeah, Paul Casey headlining next week.
Okay. 8-1 Paul Casey, I can't wait.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf.